16th, 1992, in her lovely apartment.
Thank
Gertrude,
you.
Gertrude, would you please give your name and address just to make sure that we can hear you well?
Thank you. I'd be delighted to. I'm Gertrude Forman Kaplan, C-A-P-L-A-N. My address is 552 North Neville Street, Pittsburgh 15213.
Gertrude, during our last interview, we extensively explored your association with the Ladies Hospital Aid Society. There are a few points that I would like to have you elaborate on this time in relation to that, and then I'd like to go into some of your other organizational work, for example, with the Federation and so forth. One of the things that you mentioned very briefly was nursing school scholarships.
Yes.
And I'd wonder if you would elaborate on that a bit more.
Oh, I'll be very happy to. The Lillian S. Kaufman School of Nursing, named literally after one of the past presidents of the hospital board, Mrs. Edgar Kaufman was Lillian. The school was really one of the early two-year associate degree nursing programs, and grew quite large, I would say, in the 40s and 50s. At that time, the proceeds from the gift shop of Ladies Hospital Aid Society were used almost exclusively for nursing scholarships. And as the school evolved and we realized that a four-year program was going to be required by the American Nursing Association to qualify, I adapted, as I recall, some of our criteria, but still predicated the scholarships on merit and need. The hospital then, later on, enforced a stipulation that the nurses who trained at their school, and this was during the period when nurses became very scarce, you know, that has been a cyclical picture over the years, and the nurses who trained committed, I believe, to a period of service at Montefiore. But the scholarships were outright grants. There was no payback involved. And it was a very extensive program. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. One of the other programs that you touched on, I think it's relatively new, correct me if I'm wrong, is domestic violence.
That's very new. The recognition of domestic violence within Jewish families is a more recent phenomenon, I would say. At least the awareness of it. The phenomenon has existed, unfortunately. A few years ago, a joint program was held by Ladies Hospital Aid Society, the National Council of Jewish Women, and Hadassah, which attracted a great deal, just an open program meeting, which attracted a great deal of attention, and the Jewish Family and Children's Service, recognizing the need to address this, sought funding for the initiation of the program, and the Ladies Hospital Aid Society responded to that with an initial modest amount, I think it was some $29,000, to establish a part-time program. Now this program continues and grows, and Ladies Hospital Aid continues to fund it. What we have discovered, and this is of course the significance of this, we know that centers for battered women and their children are dreadfully overcrowded in the city. And very frequently, there isn't a room for a battered woman or an abused woman to go to when this tragic thing happens to her personally. Especially difficult is it for Orthodox Jewish women, because, as you know, there is apparently more denial, more unwillingness to take that step and leave the home. the shunda, the shame of admitting that this exists, is frequently the reason of an Orthodox, more reason for an Orthodox Jewish woman to tolerate this kind of situation. So now we have, we really have some thoughts in the hopper about how do we address the fact that, and they cannot maintain, obviously, their kashrut mm-hmm. in a non-sectarian, non-Jewish setting. We're very deeply concerned about this problem, and it may be addressed mm-hmm. in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very interesting, though. Let me just interject that since I spoke with you even about hospital aid, some things have happened, because we talked rather specifically about the sale.
Yes.
And what was our role. And I want to tell you that it's very exciting. The nominating committee just met 2 months ago and last month. We're finding that our leadership is getting dynamic and stronger. We had no difficulty whatsoever filling the roster of officers and elected directors. There is a... you know, we were concerned in this transitional period as to how the membership would respond to the sale and so forth of the hospital. There is a very dynamic outpouring of support. And there's some young leadership that is just coming through. Example, the university had an international symposium last summer on the transplant project, which is international in scope at Pitt. Mm. And they came to us and said, will you serve as the volunteer corps for that? We must have had 300-400. We couldn't use all the women that came to volunteer. People came who had never played an active role in the organization, because this was something so currently challenging and provocative as an issue. They got to go to the airport to pick up international figures. Mm-hmm. They did anything that was asked of them. And the university, the medical school that sponsored the project, was really quite impressed by the degree of professionalism in the volunteer corps. Now, just last month, or 2 months ago, we turned over to the university for the new Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, PCI, which is housed at Montefiore University Hospital, a check for $250,000. Now, that was the result of the hospital aid's annual ball last year, plus, because we didn't raise that much, it would have been overwhelming if we had, but it was a good $75,000-$80,000 net from the ball. Plus what we raise in hospital, in our gift shop, beauty parlor, television sales, all the in-hospital money that we raise obviously remains in usage in the hospital. So those financial resources gave us the capacity to give them a check for $250,000. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
As a one-year check. Now, let me just mention something else to you. We have just approved, we just got a new chair for this year's ball. This is literally hot off the griddle. And maybe I'm a week premature, I don't know if I should say this, but the executive committee and the dance advisory committee have approved a new project, and the reason I want to talk to you about it is it ties in with the Euclid study. Have we talked at all about the Euclid study? Should I mention that?
Sure.
I think that could be very important here. The United Jewish Federation's role, of course, as an umbrella organization, means that it looks at the total picture of healthcare, community services, and we've been very aware, we being Federation now, that one of the major problems in the city of Pittsburgh is our aging Jewish population. Not only are ill-aging, but are well-aging. We know that we have the second largest Jewish population, what is it, over 70 in the country. We're second only to Miami, right? So we know that the needs haven't been met. We try, but and there are many groups and organizations and institutions addressing it, but there are unmet needs. So last year, and I was on the Board of Federation, I am on the board that approved this, request to engage a national consultant by the name of Jack Euclides, U-K-E-L-E-S, came to us for funding, and Federation did the bulk of the funding. The Jewish Healthcare Foundation contributed to that funding. And that study has just come out. Mm-hmm. And in anticipation of being very forward-looking and knowing that this is one of the things that is needed, Ladies Hospital Aid Society's project for this year's ball, and though I'm telling it to you, I hope that you won't divulge this till after March 25th when it's confirmed at our board meeting.
Right.
But nevertheless, it is indeed, has been approved by both executive and advisory, so there's no question it will go, is something called Follow Me Home. We see that the census in the Montefiore University Hospital is out of, let me give you a typical day, and it happens day after day after day. Out of 31 patients admitted in one day, 28 were between the ages of 70 and 100. And this has been the pattern, the pattern, the pattern. Now, so many of these elderly, when they are ready to leave the hospital, are in trouble. They don't have support systems, they don't have families, they don't have money to go to a transitional nursing home. Their insurance doesn't cover a transitional nursing home. Their medical situation may not require it. And they are in a transitional period in which they're floundering. That's where Follow Me Home, as a pilot program for 1 year, will use the consortium of all the resources that are available, meaning home care program at the hospital, but that's strictly skilled nursing. The Jewish Family and Children's Service for counseling, social work, transportation, hospital bill, hospital caring, anything that this individual might need for a two-week period will be funded by Follow Me Home. And not that it's an original concept, perhaps, though it isn't going on in Pittsburgh. There was such a program in Philadelphia, and we got the information about it. Now, if this indeed proves to be meritorious, as so many of our pilot projects, as indeed home care, which Ladies Hospital Aid Society picked up after the A.W. Mellon pilot grant for it many years ago, if this proves to be effective, what happens is that the university builds it into its budget, you know, that sort, with a pilot program. So we're kind of excited about this. We think it serves a very definite unmet need. We have met with every arm in the city, the Jewish Family and Children's Service, the Federation, the home care people, the social service departments, the university itself, and all professionals are very excited about the potential. Now, did I digress so much that I lost our trend of thought about hospital aid?
Not at all. And as I didn't recognize the name right off the bat, but as I looked in my notes,
yeah,
I had geriatric project, and this is, you touched upon this last time, so this is right exactly where
Excellent.
We need to be.
Good, I'm glad.
Did you want to say anything
no,
more?
No, I think not, unless
okay.
you, no, I think not.
Okay. And looking back a little mm-hmm. bit, you just spoke about this project, which is projecting to the future.
Right.
You mentioned briefly in much of the transitional
mm-hmm.
Information
oh, yes.
last time about Ladies Hospital
Aid. Yes.
You mentioned the Central Medical Pavilion.
I did.
I think this was an alternative.
Oh, thank you for reminding
okay.
me.
Could you elaborate on
yes,
that?
Yes, very interesting. A maverick group of physicians who left the hospital when they could, this goes back 25
yes.
years ago when
yes.
teaching, when the Montefiore tied in with the university in its teaching and training program. And unfortunately, that's when the problems began, so that many of the clinicians, those who were not full-timers, did not feel comfortable in the milieu of the new no longer new, because teaching training hospitals all over the country, you know, are very much the way it goes. And university affiliation is almost inevitable, especially when you are in the geographical position that we were in, which was right next door. But there was a group of dissenters, that's probably a better word, who really created the Central Medical Hospital as a new hospital. The interesting thing is that they went into downtown, you know, where they're located on, Bedford Avenue, and a group of individual physicians funded this. Now, they must have gotten some money, government funding or something else, but it was almost privately funded. The interesting thing is that many of that initial group of physicians, I do want to interject this, many of them have left there and gone back to other hospitals and even have come back. I saw an orthopod last week, and he was at Montefiore University, and I said, are you working here? And he said, oh, yes. So time does have a way of healing and changing all of these fractious things. But that came into being and has become a very entrenched institution, and a good institution from what I gather. They don't have the breadth of services, obviously, but they serve a purpose in their location. And they are particularly successful because two outstanding ophthalmologists were investors and really keep that place going, and those are Dr. Everett, who's retired, and Dr. Urite and their group. So that's interesting. And they were not part of the dissenter group at Montefiore. They may have maybe left Ioneer, which also went through periods of upheaval. So it's interesting that we think about these things in the whole scene of medical care.
Okay. Well, that's what I have from my
notes
on Ladies Hospital Aid.
Good.
Before we go on to some of your other organizational activities, is there anything else in that milieu that you would like to?
Well, I don't think so. It's interesting that I've been chairing the scholarship committee of Ladies Hospital Aid. Did I mention that before?
I think you might have.
Because for a while, when we gave up the nursing school, the program for scholarships ceased. Now, when Central Scholarship of Federation became a reality, we went back to Ladies Hospital Aid Society and said, if you have a nursing scholarship program, do you want to be part of our consortium? And when the scholarship program was reenacted, yeah, let me tell you about that. That's for volunteers who give 100 hours or more. Volunteers. Now, we've even changed that because, you know, we have some people who are going back to school now, older, and had indeed given those 100 hours as volunteers. So we, as volunteers in their high school and college days. So we even have some recipients of money now in their 20s and 30s because they recognize that they qualify for aid. This is an outright scholarship program also. And this, we just met last week, is going to change in its dynamics. It was small. It was self-contained. Primarily, we were aiding those students who were going into the healthcare professions. At the beginning, we stretched that because we didn't have that many applicants. Now we just revised our criteria last week, and we're going back to aiding only those who are going into the healthcare professions because the number applying now that we're Montefiore University and these volunteers work all over in the university scene, we're getting a very much larger number of applicants. So that program is going to grow again. And Ladies Hospital Aid, at its next budgetary meeting, is going to get a request from us, being the scholarship committee, the student aid committee, for a larger amount to disseminate. These are outright grants. So I'm very glad you mentioned that.
Thank you.
How did you mention first the Central Scholarship at UJF?
Yes.
And
didn't I talk about that?
I
was part of the group that organized that.
You mentioned that in your original interview some.
But this, what I wanted to clear was this volunteers is a separate issue.
Yes, except we cooperate. Here's how it works. The Volunteens, I'm glad you brought that up, is obviously a non-sectarian program, interracial, and we've aided blacks and we've aided non-Jews, and anybody who qualifies, the main stipulation, the criteria that they must observe is that they give us the 100 hours.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Central Scholarship Program, Shirley, is unilaterally for Jewish students, except that each organization that is part of that umbrella can establish its own criteria. And now the JCC is non-sectarian. So if the JCC chooses to give some of its non-Jewish participants, or they don't have many, but they do occasionally get a request, they can give a scholarship to any religious student qualifying for their criteria. Central Scholarship handles a great many funds, and I think I mentioned these to you, that are strictly Federation funds. Those apply, therefore, for Jewish students. Now, when Central Scholarship gets a student, as they did a few years ago, a third-year medical student, who had been a Volunteen and didn't know about Ladies' Hospital AIDS program, mm-hmm. they directed him to us. So it works both ways. When we get a student who doesn't know about Central Scholarship, and we say, you can get more aid, you can qualify for more, we send them to Central Scholarship. It's an interaction.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And very good. That's the whole point of having an umbrella organization.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And UGF Central Scholarship is the umbrella
organization. That's right. And a marvelous organization. Representing, did I tell you who the constituent groups are?
That was my next question.
We're on the same wavelength.
We're on the same
wavelength. The National Council of Jewish Women, and you know I chaired that Student Aid Committee for Council for years. The Hebrew Free Loan, the Jewish Community Center, the Jewish Home for Babies and Children came in on that, and I take a little pride, personal pride in that, because they worked autonomously in the city. There's no longer an institution, but there was money. And they've been giving college students aid for years. There were two men, and let me talk to you about them. That's Herman Engelberg and the late Cy Felser, F-E-L-S-E-R. These two men were running this program with a paid secretary, in their own manner, their own style, and certainly it was worthwhile because they give, once they pick up a student, they give $1,000 a year and carry that student through, mm-hmm. Jewish students only, through whatever undergraduate program, no graduate school. But they respected Central Scholarship's recommendations. If we had someone we felt would qualify for their aid, we, again, would referral. These two men were invited to every meeting we ever had, but they didn't come, but they were in touch with me. And I was chair of Central Scholarship at that time, so I was the connection. But interestingly enough, we persisted, we being Federation and the organ and the program, in keeping in communication with them. And about 4 or 5 years ago, one of their members, board members, who took over the scholarship program, man by the name of David Vax, F-A-X, a retired scientist. You know David?
Yeah.
Realized the worth of being part of the overall organization. And they brought their, not necessarily their funding, but their whole procedure and their program into the organization. And he's been a tremendous force in the organization, so valuable. Now what they're doing, and maybe nobody else has told you this, is they're now expending their principal, which makes me kind of sad because it means they're going to ultimately go out of business. But this was a determination because it just is obvious that there's not going to be someone to perpetuate this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a diminishing fund in view of the fact that it's not a loan, there's no return. So we're very thrilled, the Jewish Home for Babies. Now, B'nai B'rith women had a bequest. This is very tricky, very interesting. From the late Ida Mann and her husband, what was his name? Is it Abe? It's called the Ida Mann, M-A-N-N, Student Aid Scholarship Program of B'nai B'rith. Now, they handle this independently. We've invited them to be part of the umbrella, because when we refer students after our initial input and our initial evaluation of all of these resumes and requests for money, when we refer students, we say, this one belongs to council, qualifies, we know the criteria. This one will be taken care of by JCC. By the way, to get JCC 8, they must be members of JCC. Mm-hmm. This one, Hospital 8 can do, he or she was a volunteer, and so it goes. Well, B'nai B'rith women never really participated in our program in that they have their separate interview process, which is unfortunate because it's duplicatory. And they have had a psychologist interviewing. I don't think they have a psychologist anymore. I think they have just a secretary. They, however, do give us some participation. What other organizations now are involved in? We also approached all the temples that have philanthropic funds that give. There's a very important one I'll talk about in a minute. They didn't come into the program, but again, we have this sense of reciprocity in terms of this is a council student, this is a temple member we can go on. I think that answers that.
Okay.
That's it? NCJW, Hebrew Free Loan, JCC, and Jewish Home for Babies?
And Ladies Hospital Aid.
Yes, uh-huh. But that's it.
And let's see if I have any others that I've skipped.
Any foundations?
Oh, we have lots of those, but those are the Federation.
Okay.
Any number of, see, through the Endowment Fund and the Philanthropic Fund of Federation, we have a tremendous number that are earmarked for student aid scholarship programs.
Okay.
We gave out over $160,000 last year. It's grown. Oh, it's grown.
And how about private organizations that wouldn't come under the aegis of any of the ones that you
know about us? For instance, Kiwanis in Squirrel Hill gives a scholarship every year to one or two to an Alderdice student.
Okay.
They have come to us on occasion for requests for names with for referrals.
Okay.
There is an awareness of our program. There is such an awareness of our program that Dr. Herman Reed, who runs NEED, called me and interviewed me last year about how we function in our program, because he knows about it.
Okay. Gertrude, now that we've gotten into Federation programs, moved a little here.
Yeah.
Something you mentioned in your original interview was the relationship between the Community Relations Committee and the Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'd like you to elaborate a little more on that in terms of its evolution, where it came from to where it is today.
We had an organization called the Jewish Community Relations Council in Pittsburgh, headed by, as the executive director, and did I mention her before, an absolutely incredible woman by the name of Lillian Friedberg. And Lillian Friedberg was the wife of Dr. Manuel Friedberg, I believe, and a marvelously brilliant woman who was very ecumenical in her outlook and her awareness of the need for the Jewish community to be involved in the whole community. And Lillian Friedberg and the JCRC, as it was known then, Alphabet Soup, had a strong organization representing the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League, and constituent organizations in the city, among them Federation. But they had no fundraising power, and they had no financial arm, and they really couldn't continue to exist unless the support of Federation took it over. It was just years in the evolution of needing to become a part of Federation, which has happened, incidentally, almost throughout the country. At one point, Detroit still had a separate Community Relations Council. I don't know if they still do. Almost every large city absorbed its separate JCRCs into Federation, not to lose them, so that they could get whatever funding they needed and continue to exist. mostly you see our defense agencies were a part of it. Now, CRC in Pittsburgh has its own board and has a very active board. If I have, when before you leave, I'm going to look for the NACRAC. CRC is part of NACRAC, NJCRAC, National Jewish Community Relations Advisory Council. And NACRAC, if I gave that all to you, represents the CRCs of hundreds throughout the country. No meetings nationally are more exciting than NACRAC meetings, I can tell you, because we run the gamut in the issues we cover. Mm-hmm. I was proud to be the first woman chair of CRC in 1983, 84, I think it was, after having served in many other capacities in Federation. There's a large involvement with concerns for Israel. It is through CRC that the ambassador who is the consul of Israel based in Philadelphia, you know, they have several individuals, other than the Washington consul, there are several officers. And the Philadelphia consul general covers Pittsburgh, covers a tri-state area probably, relates to CRC. All of our domestic issues are concerns with